Welcome to a new episode of the Screen Me podcast, where I invite guests to chat about entrepreneurship in the media and the creative industry. My name is Ulrike Rohn. I'm professor of media management and economics at Tallinn University and at Baltic Film Media Arts School, short BFM. My today's guest is Dan Mikkin. Dan is a service designer and an entrepreneur. He was a co-founder of Brand Manual, which is a service design and brand consultancy. And he now works as an independent consultant. Dan also teaches entrepreneurship here at Tallinn University, and that's how we know each other. And he also teaches at Estonian Academy of Arts. Welcome, Dan. It's good to have you here.
Hello, and it's my pleasure to be here.
Dan, first things first, what is a service designer? What do you do?
It baffles people quite often, and it's a good conversation starter. And then, yeah, you say that you're a service designer, and then they ask, what is it in there? It's about bringing in the designer's point of view into business, into companies, and designer as someone who understands the customer point of view. So my task as a service designer is to understand who are the customers of one or the other company. Sometimes they are service companies, sometimes they are production companies, but they always have people who use their products or services. So I bring in that knowledge, and based on that, we can develop better products, better services that actually are needed by the people.
What kind of services are we speaking here?
Well, my spectrum is quite broad, so I haven't specialized. Well, I've worked for retail, for example, so you understand how do you make one supermarket more relevant than the other one. It can be entertainment. So the Apollo Group, I was there when they needed to reconsider what they're doing in the first place. So it's not about the books, what they do, about 10, 12 years ago, but about how to entertain people, how to give them something to do in their spare time. And now Apollo is the leader in the cinema market. So
because here in Estonia, yeah.
Here mm-hmm. in Estonia, and yeah. They are invading other countries as well.
They are. So it has also a lot to do with brand management, right? How are these two things connected?
Well, that's what brought me to service design in the first place. So I've been working with brands for decades, but the most curious part was to understand what makes them work, not how they look like. So that what people think brand is a shiny logo or some colors that you recognize, the style of things, that's the final touch. But brands is what unites people within the company and in the customer base. So there is this common idea, the common promise that some people work on to fulfill and the other ones are ready to pay for. So this is how deep we dived into brands, and then we realized that service design is the basic instrument that helps us to bring in the user side in that game.
So how do brands work? What is basically, what you're describing is basically the back end of brands that the customer, the audience doesn't see really. So this is how they function. But what is that? Give me examples.
Well, in one sentence, brand is an impression. Mm-hmm. Every company can only influence its brand. It can never tell people what its brand is. The brand is formed in the people's heads, and they don't even necessarily need to be exact users of it. Yeah, if I mention Rolex, almost everyone knows what a Rolex is. They have some kind of an impression. They think it's expensive. For some, it's too flashy. For some, it's precise. Well, there is a set of values that goes with it. And if I ask in an audience, who has ever worn a Rolex, then usually there are none or one person raises her hand. So this is one way to describe how brands relate to people. Of course, it's if you have personal experience, then your brand impression is much more direct, much more intimate in a way. But again, companies can only do so much to nudge that brand impression in a certain direction, but it's for people to decide whether they think that, I don't know, BMW is about sporty driving, or how Chanel is about being really ladylike, and so on and so forth.
So you co-founded the company Brand Manual more than 10 years ago. Tell me about the journey that led towards launching this company.
Well, I had been working for more than 15 years in advertising, and that's where I realized that brands and brand strategies are what I want to focus on. Because in advertising in Estonia, you worked on everything, from creative ideation to production to doing print files, and also working on strategy. So it was all in my toolbox. And so I decided to focus, to really create value, not just being superstitious like most of the advertising is. So with a few colleagues, we created that partnership. So we luckily, some of the guys in this company had experience with entrepreneurship from earlier times. Otherwise, we had been in trouble. But it was still a tough start. Timing was very good because we did that in the middle of the crisis. So there was a shift in how companies thought about their offering. They realized that just selling cheap or copying someone else doesn't really cut the cookie. But that also meant that we had to start from a clean sheet. We really had to create a new field. And that's what made it tough.
So you said, luckily, some of your co-founders had experience being an entrepreneur, otherwise you would have been in trouble. Elaborate, what did they bring to the table that you really needed? What experience was that?
Well, there is a lot of nitty-gritty in running a company. You really need to understand what tools you need to start. And I don't just mean computers. So computers, yeah, of course. But how do you plan your time? What things you need to outsource, like bookkeeping, for example? How do you bill? Where the money comes in and where the money goes? What are the taxes? What are these overhead costs? We try to keep the overhead costs as low as possible. So just being four experts at the beginning, doing our own management. But we realized that we can't run too long on just that. So we had to hire people at some point. So there is a lot of this administration and understanding how you operate, how you manage your financial flows. Even if you have a good bookkeeper who takes care of a lot of stuff.
Were your customers large established companies from the beginning, or what kind of customers did you have?
Yeah, that was the lucky bit in our start. So we started immediately with one very big supermarket chain, Prisma. So they were a branch of the Finnish office, but operating quite independently. So what they did here in Estonia, they could use the Finnish setup, but they had the possibility to create their own operation, to understand what is the value proposition on this particular market, since Estonian market and Finnish market are quite different, and they were even more different 15 years ago.
And so basically you yourself had an entrepreneurial take by establishing this company and this consultancy and being entrepreneurial. But then you were also consulting companies in their, one could say entrepreneurial ventures as well, right? What was the difference between your own and their business?
Well, you always have to understand, what's your depth? I am not a business consultant, so that has to be really clear. But linking design, customer experience, to business model that was there from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we changed the game. That before that, companies thought of branding, marketing activities as something that's a cost. And yeah, maybe it brings in something, but they never measured it. And we said that it's an investment, that you really, really need to set a target. What do you want to change in your business model? Sometimes, yeah, like in Apollo's case, they had to change the business model. It was not about selling literature. It was about finding new niches, all the way to catering, expanding, making new branches. So they have to make the decisions, but we can change their viewpoint of on the market, open new markets for them. So with lots of companies, we have been investigating what's out there, since Estonia is it's a toy market, let's say. It's nice and cozy, but it's really tiny. And if you want to really growing business, you need to have international perspective right from the start, even if you start here, but think what would be the next frontier.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go to foreign markets without understanding how people behave there. So what are their customs? What are their preferences? I failed on the journey as well without doing proper homework in some cases.
Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. For example, there was this one client that was really successful at reinventing how fresh berries are sold seasonally,
mm-hmm.
from the open lots. But they thought that the same thing would apply in Finland. So they just copy-pasted that to Finland. And in Finland, people just walked by. They never stopped. For them, the change of format was too much. They either went to open markets, mm. or they went to closed supermarkets. But having this branded stall in between was way too strange. It was a cultural thing, and that was a tough lesson to learn.
So would you agree that maybe this, like, service design and brand management are exactly those soft skills, these soft elements that are very prone to, you know, exhibit like local preferences?
Well, yeah. How do you define soft skills? But mm-hmm. yes, you need to get under the skin of people, and especially in other cultures. I've worked with Russia before. It went nuts, and yeah, even speaking the language doesn't mean that you understand how people think and work there. So I really had to talk to the customers, talk to people on the streets, try to understand what's their lifestyle, where different services fit there, and what are they missing? Because what they're missing over there is completely different from what they're missing here. So where are the business opportunities? You have to quite often reinvent that on every new market.
When you founded the company for service design and brand management consultancy, what is special in being an entrepreneur in this area as opposed to other industries?
Well, I haven't really been responsible in other industries. I always have this privilege of being an outsider. Yeah, I've worked with large production companies that sell the items by tens and hundreds of millions, and I understand that there are so many things at play. Where the material comes from, what are the stakeholders? So in our case, yeah, the pool is so much smaller. So, but you still need to understand who your service or whatever you're selling, who it matters to, who will be the user of it. And who's paying for it? And they are not necessarily the same people. So you really have to map the people who you need to understand. You need to understand their motivation and work from there. So yeah, it's definitely people business.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that this is something that's very special to this area? Makes it more complex as well?
In a way, it does. Yeah, but we are not unique. So if we talk about consultancies in most cases have to work with these hard to measure values and hard to measure things that change, anticipate the future. But again, if you're in entrepreneurship, then you have to think about the future one way or the other. So that unites all entrepreneurs. If you build something that caters for today, then tomorrow you'll be bankrupt. You have to understand what will change in a few days, or at least try to predict that and be ready for change.
What did you study?
I studied graphic design. So yeah, that's what I can do with my own hands. Mm-hmm. So that helps a little. When I was in advertising, I was involved in production in many areas, from video production to print production. Mm-hmm. So I know how ideas actually need to be realized to reach people. So that's a good background.
Mm-hmm. So, but you would consider yourself as a creative by heart, right?
Creativity. Yes, it's a fundamental, but it's a tool in my toolbox.
Yeah.
So I use creativity to find new ways to open new ideas, new business ideas. It's not creativity as just expressing myself. I always use it for a function.
Has that always been like that?
And that's what I like about being a designer. Mm-hmm. That you solve problems. You solve puzzles. You have to find a way to reach a target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I as a kid, I was trained as an artist. I went to the children's art school, and I was always uncomfortable with the idea that I just have to express what's in my head. Whereas as a designer, I need to understand what's out there. And then use my creative power to find a way.
It's very entrepreneurial, right?
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Mm. So would you say it's like entrepreneurs have to have that creative side in them as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. If you... That's one of the questions I ask company owners or decision makers. So I always need to work with people who make the decisions. So it's not a marketing exercise, period. You have to be at the core of the business to make service design work. And people who are at the heart of a company, they have to be creative to offer something that nobody else does. So if they don't have that, then they will be subcontractors. And that's a very, very vulnerable business, as we now learn from a lot of our student companies. Yeah, the moment that business environment changes somewhere, subcontractors are the first to go.
Mm.
But if you offer something of your own, unique, people have loyalty for you as a producer, as a service provider, then even if the market changes, they will stick to you. Mm. So it's, in a way, it's like a insurance policy, being creative.
And then the other way around, if you're creative, if you see yourself as a creative, do you have to be entrepreneurial?
It helps. It certainly helps. There are a lot of artists at heart out there. And there are people who put design and art in the same box, and I definitely don't. That's my definition of it. Either you deal with self-expression and you hope that it resonates with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a chance. There are a lot of starving artists out there, or the ones who live from state tuitions or something.
Mm-hmm.
And as a designer, you always understand who and why do they need what you're about to create. That actually brings bread on your table, and not just bread, but some butter too.
What students do you teach?
Here at BFM, it's from different branches, but they all define themselves as creatives. So there are film editing and directing and so on and so forth. So that's why I was that was my first year this year to teach them. So I kept my expectations really low because I thought there will be a lot of resistance, that we are creatives, we are about expressing ourselves, and now this guy comes in and starts to talk about business and money, and these are a different planet. And I was absolutely blown away in a positive way how they jumped onto this bandwagon, that they how they understood the beauty of the game,
mm-hmm.
and how they were involved, and they we basically played the game of creating a company, but it was such a pleasure to see them trying to understand how it works and who are they creating for. And I guess for most creative, understanding who are you creating for is a good exercise, whether you are a business person or not.
If there was one thing that they, once the course is finished, would say that they learned in your course, what would you like them to say?
That's a tough cookie. I guess it would be a good thing if they learned to understand a little how the world, real world, operates. I had that experience with my own kids when they came out of high school, and they were totally unprepared for the labor market. So they didn't try to even start their own company, but they were just hassled by people employing them because they were absolutely unprepared for the world where you sell your skills. And that's what you're about to do. And if you do that in a way that you sell your skills directly to people instead of selling them to someone else who will get rich and buy themselves a new Porsche, what could you have against that? That you understand how you create your own market and you create your own fan base, and that fan base would be happy to pay for the ticket.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to add that we haven't mentioned yet?
Well, we've covered quite a lot, so I don't know. Nothing that kind of tries to get out.
Okay. Thank you, Dan, for chatting with me today and for sharing your thoughts with us. And thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, I want to mention that this podcast is supported by the Horizon 2020 project ScreenMe, which stands for Screen Media Entrepreneurship. So watch out for new episodes. And until then, all the best. And thank you.
Thank you so much.